Hello and welcome to Arxiv LLM Daily EN. This is the show where we look at a new Arxiv paper every day and try to keep up with the ridiculous speed of AI innovation, but in a way that stays practical. The paper we're looking at today is titled Systematization of Knowledge, Security and Safety in the Model Context Protocol Ecosystem. Basically, it maps out the security and safety issues in the growing world of model context protocols. The plumbing that connects LLMs to your data, tools, and plugins, and lays out how to think about the risks and defenses across that stack. Why now? Because everyone's wiring models to live systems, and the attack surface is suddenly very real. Mark will look at it from the field, real-world usage. Jamie will look at the AI and technical side. Concretely, what's the use of what they're proposing, and what need does it meet today? Mark, let's start with what need you're actually seeing on the ground.
In real life, teams get stuck at the exact moment they go from a demo to production. Example, a support chatbot with RAG against a knowledge base. First week it works, second week security asks, how do you know this PDF isn't injecting a prompt that makes the model spill credentials? Or an agent that can run SQL or call a ticketing API, who scopes what it's allowed to do per user? And where do we log provenance so audits can replay decisions? People don't have a shared threat model. They ask, which connectors are trusted? How do we isolate tenants? How do we sanitize retrieved context and who signs off? What we need is a concrete checklist and taxonomy. Threats like prompt injection, data exfiltration via tools, cross-tenant leakage, supply chain risk from plugins, and matching mitigations like capability scoping, allow lists, context filtering, sandbox tools, and provenance tags. Without that, launches stall or ship with blind spots.
So if I sum that up, teams can build the bot, but they can't confidently ship it because there's no common map of risks and defenses, and security reviews turn into a guessing game. Jamie from the AI side, why is this kind of approach showing up now?
We've moved from single prompt and answer flows to systems where the model pulls context, calls tools, and composes results, and the boundaries are where things break. Model context protocols are standardizing those boundaries, how a model requests data, invokes capabilities, and declares what it used. That's great for interoperability, but it also standardizes the attack surface. At the same time, enterprises are pushing sensitive data through these paths, and CISOs want consistent risk treatment. We're also seeing recurring failure modes, prompt injection via retrieved docs, overprivileged tools, and leaky logging, so a systematization is overdue. This paper doesn't give a new model. It gives a structured threat taxonomy and mitigation playbook aligned to where context is created, transformed, and executed. It's the blueprint teams can plug into design reviews, policy enforcement, and observability from day one. At a nuts and bolts level, the paper systematizes security and safety across what they call the model context protocol ecosystem. The whole path from user asks something to model gets context, calls tools, and returns an answer. They break it into concrete components: model calls, context provisioning and retrieval augmentation, tool or agent orchestration, third-party plugins, provenance and attestations, and the trust boundaries between those pieces. For each boundary, they list threat classes: prompt injection through retrieved docs, cross-tenant leaks in vector stores, overprivileged capabilities, data exfiltration via tools, and supply chain risks from plugins, and pair them with mitigations: capability scoping, context isolation, sanitization and allow lists, authenticated capability tokens, provenance logging, and policy enforcement points. The framework plugs in both at design time, threat modeling and architecture checklists, and at runtime, policy engines, context filters, monitoring hooks, and incident replay via provenance. Compared to prior work like generic LLM OWASP checklists or isolated prompt injection write-ups, this is end-to-end. It maps risks to the actual protocol surfaces and points out where standards exist and where gaps remain.
So basically, it's a map of threats and defenses across the stack, tied to the seams where data moves and tools execute. Mark, what would that actually change in day-to-day usage?
In real life, it forces discipline. Developers stop treating the model call as a black box and start treating the pipeline as a set of gates. Practically, you add provenance tags to every chunk you retrieve, you run context through a sanitizer before it hits the prompt, and you scope tool access per user or role instead of the bot can do everything. You also wire logs so audits can replay a session. Inputs, retrieved items, tool calls, outputs. The friction moves to the start. You set up policies, capability scopes, and logging syncs. But it pays off later. Security reviews are faster, and when something looks odd in production, you can trace it in minutes rather than guess.
Let's make it concrete. If we apply this to a simple case, a small product team adding RAG to a support chatbot. Mark, walk us step by step. What changes in the design?
Step 1, ingestion. When you load PDFs or articles, you attach provenance, doc ID, hash, owner, timestamp, and you strip obvious prompt-like patterns or hidden HTML before chunking. Step 2, retrieval. You enforce tenant filters and an allow list of collections. You cap the number of retrieved chunks and require that each chunk carries provenance. Step 3, pre-prompt. You run a sanitizer that removes executable markup, redacts tokens that look like API keys, and inserts a system reminder to ignore doc-level instructions. Step 4, capabilities. If the bot can create tickets, you scope it to create in this project only, and only for the current user. In the tooling UI, a developer toggles context filtering on, selects a policy profile, and points logs to a central sync. For the agent answering tickets, the UI now shows citations next to each answer with source doc links and a confidence flag, so they can spot weird retrievals quickly.
So the developer flips on filtering and provenance, scopes what the bot can do, and the support agent sees answers with citations they can trust. What's the minimum viable protection you'd insist on for that first launch, Mark?
3 basics. Hard tenant isolation on retrieval, provenance on every retrieved chunk, and a strict allow list for any tool the model can call, ideally off by default. If you have budget for one more, add a pre-prompt sanitizer that strips instruction-like patterns and secrets. Those 4 get you most of the way. They stop cross-tenant leaks, make audits possible, and blunt the most common prompt injection tricks.
Great. Now let's push it. Imagine an advanced setup, multi-service orchestration with external plugins and sensitive customer data. Think a success copilot that touches CRM, billing, and Slack. Mark, what changes when you stitch all that together?
You move from one pipeline to several, each with its own trust boundary. The copilot runs a planner model that decides whether to call a CRM plugin or a billing service. Each capability needs its own scope token tied to the current user and tenant. Context is compartmentalized. CRM data in one namespace, billing in another, and the planner gets only summaries, not raw PII. Every plugin is registered with a signed manifest that declares what it can do, and there's a budget per session so the agent can't spam APIs. Before tool outputs re-enter the prompt, a policy-enforced sanitizer removes anything sensitive that isn't needed. And there's a break glass flow. If a high-risk action is requested, the system pauses and a human approves in the console. It's more setup, policies per capability, token minting per session, monitoring dashboards, but it keeps blast radius small.
Jamie, connect that to the mechanics in the paper. What technically helps make this work?
Mechanically, the paper recommends authenticated capability tokens with explicit scopes. Think short-lived tokens minted by a policy engine at session start, bound to user identity and tenant. Context isolation is implemented as per-session namespaces in the retrieval layer and as separate prompt channels for summaries versus raw data. Policy-enforced sanitization becomes a middleware stage. Deterministic filters for markup and secrets, plus optional model-based checkers for risky instructions. Monitoring hooks emit a trace for each boundary crossing. Retrieval results with provenance claims, tool invocations with parameters, model outputs with the sources they used. These traces make incident replay possible and drive anomaly alerts. The trade-offs are latency and cost. Every check adds a few milliseconds. Model-based filters can add hundreds, and storing rich provenance increases logging costs. But you get containment and accountability in return.
Ballpark this for us, Jamie. How much extra latency and cost are we adding, and where do teams usually feel it?
For a simple RAG bot with deterministic filters, expect roughly 5 to 15% added latency, say 50 to 150 milliseconds, mostly from retrieval filtering and policy checks. If you add model-based sanitization or a second validation pass, that can jump by 200 to 400 milliseconds. In multi-plugin orchestration, coordination overhead plus capability checks can push overhead to 20 to 40% unless you parallelize. Cost-wise, logging rich provenance and a lightweight content filter typically adds 5 to 10% per request. The big swing is extra LLM calls for verification. You can mitigate that with sampling. Validate one in N requests, and aggressive caching of safe contexts.
That lines up with what we've seen. Enabling policy checks and provenance added about 120 milliseconds on average and roughly 8% cost overhead. We shaved most of it by parallelizing retrieval and running filters in the same region as the vector store. The win was operational. When something looked off, we could pivot on provenance and reconstruct the session in under 5 minutes. Before, that was guesswork and Slack archaeology.
All right, that's the deep dive, a practical map of where risks live, the guardrails to add at each seam, and the real trade-offs in time and money. In the next part, we'll talk prerequisites, limits, and what results the paper actually reports.
Under the hood, the paper assumes a few building blocks are already in place. First, provenance-capable data and tooling. You need a way to tag and carry source IDs, hashes, and ownership through the whole pipeline so you can reconstruct what happened. Second, trustworthy identity and authorization. Consistent user identity, scoped capability tokens, and a policy engine that can mint and check them at runtime. Third, observability for model calls and tool invocations. Traces, parameters, and outputs logged with enough detail to replay. Fourth, some evaluability. Labeled examples of threats, prompt injections, data exfiltration attempts, so you can test filters and policies before and after changes. Limitations-wise, threats are environment-specific. Plugin ecosystems are uneven in how they declare capabilities, and some mitigations are manual or advisory rather than automatically enforced. The authors call out open areas, standardized provenance schemas and signed manifests across vendors, automated enforcement hooks at each protocol boundary, conformance tests for plugins and tools, and longer-term, formal verification of critical policies. Future work is basically turn the map into guardrails you can switch on by default.
Put differently, you need decent plumbing before this makes sense. Identity and access controls, logs you can trust, and a way to track where a chunk of text came from. If those are missing, you can still use the framework, but it'll be manual, slow, and pricier. Mark, from an org and setup point of view, what does adopting this actually look like?
What usually happens is a phased rollout. Step one, pick one workflow, say the support rag bot, and define a minimum policy. Tenant isolation, provenance required, and a small tool allow list. Step two, wire the basics. Turn on trace logging for retrieval and model calls, set up a central log sync, and add a dashboard with a couple of alerts. Cross-tenant query, missing provenance, and unusual tool frequency. Step three, governance. Write a two-page playbook with roles. Who approves new tools? Who reviews policy changes? Who handles incidents? And an approval flow in your ticketing system. Step four, training. 60 minutes for engineers on how to tag provenance and scope tokens. 30 minutes for non-technical reviewers on reading traces and citations. Gotchas? Missing logs because someone called a tool via a side SDK? A hidden connector in a no-code integration, or embeddings created pre-policy without provenance, you'll need a backfill job. Also, alerts that are too noisy, you'll tune thresholds for a week or two.
Great, that's concrete. Jamie, what does the paper report as results? Since it's a systematization, I'm guessing it's more maps and case studies than new benchmarks. How should we read that?
Exactly. The outputs are a taxonomy of threats tied to specific protocol boundaries, a catalog of mitigations with where they should sit in the pipeline, and qualitative case analyses. Think walkthroughs of RAG prompt injection or overprivileged plugins and how a policy gate would have contained them. Where they include empirical pieces, it's illustrative, small red team corpora to show that a sanitizer or scope check blocks common patterns, or incident timelines reconstructed via provenance. These aren't tightly controlled head-to-head benchmarks, they're decision aids. Confidence-wise, it means you should treat the taxonomy and placements as defaults to start from, then verify the impact in your environment with your own eval sets.
So the practical benefit is fewer blind spots, clearer checklists, smoother security reviews, and fewer why did the bot do that moments after you ship. Mark, set expectations for production. What does the first month really feel like?
Week one, you'll see a small latency bump and a bunch of alerts you need to triage. Week two, the noise drops as you tune thresholds and add a couple of allow-listed patterns. Week three, the team starts trusting the traces. You can answer what happened quickly, which keeps security happy. Expect a few false positives from the sanitizer and the occasional user flow that needs a break glass human approval. Also, coverage is partial at first. Maybe only the rag path is hardened, not the agent's planning loop. So document that and expand scope iteratively. The win you feel is operational. Incidents take minutes, not hours. Closing from the field. This benefits teams that are past the demo and touching real customer data. Support, success, internal search, or back office copilots. You get the most value if you already have basic IAM, logging, and a place to run a policy engine. If you're greenfield or very lean, start with the minimum viable protections and grow. Don't wait for perfect.
In one line, the paper gives teams a shared map of where LLM risks live in the context pipeline and where to place the guardrails so you can ship with confidence and answer for it later. To finish, a quick reminder, the English version of the podcast is available via the RSS feed on nblotty.org/iadaily/en and also on Spotify. Search for ArxivE LLM Daily EN. See you tomorrow for more AI news. Have a great day.